The Lord be with you. Thank you. It is really a joy to be here and share with you a little bit about Lutheran Hour Ministries, the International Lutheran Layman's League, and how God is working mightily through this ministry or his ministry through the league, and also how you can be a part of that as leaders of our church.
As pastors
and such. And what I'm going to do today is talk a little bit about my background, because that way you will know more about at least one person that is at the League, and my philosophy, or the philosophy of ministry, and the theology. And then we'll talk a little bit about the international ministries, and then we'll talk about the domestic ministries. I have some video to show you of some of the things that we're doing on the domestic level. And one of the ministries that I thought would be kind of fun to get started, you know, everybody goes into the inner cities and wants to get missions and ministry started in the inner cities, right? Everybody seems like those are those power missions, the sizzle missions, to go down to the inner city. Well, I thought instead, let's go to the suburbs and go out to the malls, and we'll have a devotion boutique. We'll have devotions by Eric. You know, you come on in and have a devotion. So go the other way. But thinking of devotions, always got to have a theme song. And looking at all the upturned faces this day, it's kind of like a vision. A vision of heaven. You read about it in Revelation and in Daniel. The vision of heaven, where you have everybody standing around the throne of God singing praises to the Lamb who was slain and who radiates the light. There's no longer any sun because the Lamb is producing the light. And everybody is singing praises. And do you ever wonder what key they're singing in? Somebody did, because they wrote this song. Now just listen the first time through. What key does the good Lord sing in? Is it A, is it B, is it C? Does he ever lend a hand, join in with the angel band? What key does the good Lord sing in? Is it A, men, hallelujah, B, leave, cause he has saved you, C, you through your hour of sin? He has delivered you from evil oppression. What key does the good Lord sing in? All right, I can see you're all warm this morning after singing praises to God just moments ago in chapel, but I won't ask you to memorize all the words, just the letters. The first letter of the alphabet is? Then? I think you know what goes after that. So whenever it comes time for the letters, let's hear the letters, all right? What key does the good Lord sing in? Is it A, is it B, is it C? Good! Does he ever lend a hand, join in with the angel band? What key does the good Lord sing in? Everybody, is it amen, hallelujah, believe, cause he has saved you, see, you through your hour of sin. He has delivered you from evil oppression. What key does the good Lord sing in? Give yourselves a hand, or praise the Lord with your praise. You don't appreciate yourselves very much, do you?
Important in ministry is to have fun with your faith.
When people ask you how you're doing, you say, fine, I'm fine. You are forgiven people of God. You are a peculiar people. You have been touched by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit working through word and sacrament ministry. You have eternal life. You have love and forgiveness. You aren't just fine. You're great. You're great. So when people say, how are you doing? Say, great. I'm a forgiven child of God. And that's what we are in the ministry about, is telling people about Jesus, the forgiven child of God. People think about video ministry sometimes, because Lutheran Hour Ministries is very heavily involved with media ministries. And sometimes it would be nice to think of video ministry as preaching to a videotaped congregation. Think about it a minute. Did you get it? Yeah. And then there's no commitment. There's no, you know, if only, some people have even said, if only you could run a congregation without people, it would go a lot smoother, you know. But God didn't die for an abstract concept. He died for you. And not only that, he didn't die, he rose again. And now I'm starting to preach myself. It's an occupational hazard, preaching. You know, how many times have you heard in evangelical preaching today, this is just an aside here, where people say, Jesus died for you, Jesus died for you, and then they're content with the fact that they have shared the gospel by saying, Jesus died for you. But is that the gospel? The gospel is what? He is risen. He is risen indeed. And so as you proclaim the gospel, make sure you're proclaiming all of the gospel, both that he died for you and that he is risen. He is risen indeed. How did I get here? Well, my story is that I started out as a child, in the wilds of the Ozarks down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. We were kind of marginal members of the Missouri Synod Lutheran congregation there, and it was really supposed to have been the campus ministry, St. John's Lutheran Church. But what happened is a bunch of thick-necked people from Wisconsin, Minnesota moved down there, and they kind of took over the campus ministry, and they said, it's our church, and the students can come if they want to. But I had a good experience there, but I couldn't have told you at that time growing up what it meant to be Lutheran. And we were kind of marginal members at best. Right out of high school, in my senior year of high school, I got my first job working in broadcasting as a disc jockey at the local FM rocker there in Fayetteville, KKEG, K-K-E-G. You can imagine what kind of format that was. It was a party station back in the early 70s. And began my career working through working through college in radio. Working at some of the small stations in northwest Arkansas was a real treat, and I could see how the Lord was leading me and giving me educational opportunities. One of the stations I worked for, they found that the best way to make money on Sunday afternoons is to sell time to the local preachers. Well, many of the preachers came down from the hills who fancied themselves Oral Roberts's or Billy Graham's's, and for $15 could buy 30 minutes of time on the radio station. They'd come in, we had a big studio, and people, they'd bring in some of their flock, and they'd make a social thing out of it. They'd have their event on Sunday morning, they'd all pack up, move to the big city, drive to the big city, and have lunch, and then go down to the radio station for their live broadcast. It was kind of one after another throughout the afternoon. There was one particular gentleman I remember was Brother Vivian Rhodes. Brother Vivian Rhodes, and he'd get all worked up into a lather and he'd say, friends, you need to get your life straightened out before it's too late, because the Lord's coming again, and he's going to judge you. He's going to judge you. Are you ready for the judgment? You need to quit your smoking and your drinking and your cussing and your swearing and get right with God, because he's going to judge you. And are you ready? Get right with God. Do I hear an amen? Okay. Well, I thought, well, you know, if he's going to judge me, and I need to quit my smoking, drinking, cussing, swearing, and all that stuff, how am I ever going to be right with God, or how am I ever going to know that I am right with God? And so that question stuck with me. And so over the years, I thought, well, instead of taking these preachers' words for it, I'll just read the Bible for myself. And it's really a period of years in reading the Bible, exposing myself to God's Word, or God speaking to me through his word, I came up with this working model that it was years later I went to a pastor who had gotten to know and said, here's my working model. Here's God and here I am. And there's a void between us. And I said, I keep hearing all these preachers around here. This was throughout the greater southwestern belt of the tier of states. These preachers keep saying that I have to get over here and get right with God. But it says here in the Bible that we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And can a dead person move? So if there's any getting right to be done, it's got to be from God. And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So where do the verbs begin? The verbs begin with God, right? And unbeknownst to me at that time, I realized that I had stumbled across what later I would know to be the doctrine of justification. Anyway, so I said to this pastor, I said, so I see that what Scripture says is that I can't move because I'm dead, and that it's God who came and made me alive through his death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus. And so that, essentially, I said, so the gospel is not a proposition, it's a proclamation. And he just laughed, and he said, hang on to that, Eric, and you'll do fine. Well, I did, and the more I heard these preachers saying what you have to do to get right with God, the more irritated I got, and the more irritated I got, the more outspoken I got in Bible class, the more outspoken I got, the more people said, well, you ought to be a preacher. And I said, no, I'm a disc jockey, you know. But after 3 years of encouragement by the pastors and the congregation, I loaded up my little Toyota and kissed my wife goodbye with her encouragement. I prayed about it with her and talked to her about it, and she supported me and said, I think this is right. And with much fear and trepidation, because I did not know that much about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as far as politics, but I knew that doctrine of justification. I knew that I could see how that is different in this church that other churches don't have, that freedom of knowing that the burden of salvation is on the cross and not on your shoulders and through the empty tomb. Well, I won't talk much further about myself, but I will share this with you, how I started, of course, even though I did receive an undergraduate degree from the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville, the home of the Hogs. How about them Hogs? Yeah, okay. And so I kind of laid a fleece before the Lord. I said, well, if I can survive summer Greek camp with Dr. Herber, then that will be a sign unto me. So I didn't really know what I was getting into, came up here ready to go, and struggled and swam to keep my head above the water through the first half of summer Greek camp, and the definitive answer from God and the grade he gave to me that I earned in the first half of summer Greek camp was a definitive C-. So I thought, well, that's not real definitive, so I stuck it out for the rest of the summer, brought my grade point up to a C, and thought, well, we can do better. I think this will be all right. So my grade steadily improved, and I made it out with a 3-point plus. So grades don't mean that the Lord doesn't want you here, necessarily. It might mean he wants you to work harder and learn something, but it doesn't mean that. The Lord works mightily, and works mightily through you, and this whole theology of justification is summed up in the first line of the Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. We don't say bringing people to Christ, bringing Christ to the nations. And that's the underlying theology of the ministry of the Lutheran Hour Ministries. Lutheran Hour Ministries is the description of what the International Lutheran Layman's League does. The International Lutheran Layman's League was formed back about 1912 or somewhere right around there to help support the work of Synod. In fact, one of its first goals was to alleviate the debt Synod had. I've not heard them talking about doing that again recently. But that's one of the motivations for bringing them together back then. And through the years, they've been very active in ministry, and it's kind of been the mobilizing organization for the laity of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Synod has done a wonderful job of mobilizing you, the professionals and the teachers of the Synod. And I believe that there is a need to continue to grow in networking amongst the people in the pews. And the laity, to give, because you will go out there, you will proclaim the word and get them involved in word and sacrament ministry. They're going to get charged up and they're going to want to bring Christ to the nations. So how do they do it? The Lutheran Hour Ministries and the International Lutheran Layman's League could be a vehicle for you to help mobilize the laity of your in your ministry. In some of the things that we are doing in Russia, for example, because part of the style of ministry of the Lutheran Hour Ministries is to use media. It's not quite as critical to set up a lot of networks on the local level, not as critical as establishing missionaries and that sort of thing, missionaries at large. What we will do, and what we have done in Russia, for example, many of you are aware that Dr. Schultz was in Latvia. I just got back, met him at the airport 2 weeks ago, and he's been over there for the last year. He's the associate speaker of the Lutheran Hour. And it's interesting, while he was there, things kind of shifted. There's some really exciting stories coming out of Russia of what's happening as God worked mightily through the Word. It's interesting how the Word, the Bible, printed materials were passed around for these years, these dark years of the communist regime, and people still found strength through the Word. Their churches had been confiscated. In the Latvia area, as a matter of fact, there was a note from Lenin when the gentleman who was the general who was marching into that area, the area years ago during the revolution, said, how do we best take over this area, St. Petersburg? And Lenin wrote back, said, first, go round up some of the leading clergy in the area and immediately execute them. And so that's what they did. And they found and there was a primarily Lutheran area, and so most of the Lutheran pastors were executed as a way of gaining power. The churches were seized, and perhaps you've seen the picture in the Lutheran Witness of, I think it's St. Peter's, that they had made the sanctuary a swimming pool. Did you see that? Isn't that neat? Now, here's how the Lord works. The Lord's got a sense of humor. I love this. Our office, check with your historians on campus. Latvia is not really the most politically popular place to launch a ministry to Russia, because the Latvians and the Russians don't get along that well. That was one of the reasons why there was a move for Lutheran Hour Ministries to move their office into Moscow. And the word just got back. We're now legal. Last week I found we are legal now in Russia. We're a legal entity. That way we don't get sued or have our property confiscated. You know, we can legally be there. And they're developing media ministries there. But the office space that they found, this is great, the office space that they found in Moscow was in the former Karl Marx Institute of Propaganda. That's true. And so that's where Lutheran Hour Ministries will be working out of in Moscow, trying to establish radio and television ministries from there. It's fascinating, too, as you know, there is a tendency to be a bit egocentric, and those of you who have worked overseas can testify to this, I believe, where we believe that the way we think is the way everybody thinks in the world, and it's not true. We have been so tainted, if you will, by media and electronic media. In other parts of the world, that has not happened yet. In Russia, people read. They love to read, and they'll read anything they can get their hands on, because television has been a real bore for the last 40, 50 years, if you could get a television. So the printed word is still a wonderful way of distributing God's word. Let's see, so that's what's going on in Russia. China has opened its doors recently, and what we've been involved with there very strongly is a cassette ministry. We started out thinking that, well, we'll print up 60,000 cassettes and get them distributed, and that should take a while to distribute. Before they had that second 30,000 run off, there were orders for 90,000. And just last week I heard they've just finished 120,000 cassettes and getting those distributed, and that's continuing to grow. What's neat is the space where the cassettes are being produced. The cassettes, there is a series of six, two on each of the following: two on God the Father, two on God the Son, two on God the Holy Spirit. And the place where the studio is, so that these are being produced, they were looking ahead, could easily be changed over to be a broadcasting studio, and that Lord willing, within a short period of time, perhaps we will be able to be broadcasting from inside China the gospel of Christ, proclaiming the word. Not a proposition of, well, are you going to believe or aren't you, but proclaiming what Christ has done through the cross and the resurrection. So that's what's going on in China and other areas. We have offices around the world now where we're, I think it's 31, it's either 21 or 31, sorry for those of you taking notes, either 21 or 31, I'll accept either answer on the test, languages that the Lutheran Hour is being broadcast in 21 or 31 different languages, and those are pretty much produced and written on the local level. They'll take the scripts from here and then try to adapt them. Some cultures, they've found that the format of the Lutheran Hour that you hear here, it doesn't fit the culture, so they found that dramas work very well in Latin America and South America and in the Philippines, and so they will use drama, 15-minute dramas, to proclaim the gospel through that format. So that's pretty neat. I'm ready to shift to the domestic level. Any questions on the international level or comments? Any praise gods?
Amen.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, sir.
Anything more being done with the cooperation between the LLL and urban ministry? They have that model going in Rock and Venezuela with the short TV spots and the doorfront contact centers in downtown Caracas, and
okay.
These were staffed by missionaries, by national pastors. Anyhow, it was to be a model of cooperation between Board for Mission Services personnel and the LLL, the Venice Media, Christ for All Nations broadcast down there.
Mm-hmm.
Peterson was the manager largest, I believe, of our overseas stations. The whole strategy of Board of Mission Services and mass media being the expertise area of LLL, is there more in the planning stage for here or abroad?
It's a wonderful bridge into domestic ministries. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. Yes, there is something happening. Do you want to find out what it was, or do you just want me to answer? Yeah. I want to talk about this gentleman right here. May I speak about you for a moment, sir? And it's something I've already told you before. His class of Christian Encounters with Other Religions was one of the most memorable classes I took here because of the content of the class. Every day I'd walk out of that class furious of the kind of people that they would let have driver's licenses in this country. You know? Some of the religions in this country are different. That was a whole paragraph of my testimony that I left out. Going to the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville, which is a major land-grant college, 20,000 students and such, it was interesting. Every major world religion, this was in the mid-70s, was represented on that campus. There were homosexual churches, there were witches' covens, Presbyterians. And so I was exposed to a lot of different teachings and Christian Encounters with Other Religions. You know, years later I came back to that. The gospel is different. It is different. There are people out there who have a different theology. And they put the burden of forgiveness on you, or the burden of being one with the universe on you by emptying yourself, or by not eating donuts, or not smoking, or drinking, or cussing, or swearing. By the way, Brother Vivian Rhodes preached against the evils of football. It's a homosexual sport. Why, you know where the quarterback puts his hands? That was his argument. Somebody once called, he also called, preached against the evils of television. Television is of the devil, he would say on the radio. Somebody wrote up and said, why, if television's so bad, is radio okay? That's where his answer was. And as he was reading the mail the next day, he said, friends, the reason that television is of the devil, but radio is okay, even though it is a broadcast media, is it says in the Bible, to preach the word of God. It doesn't say anything about having to see the preacher. So radio is okay. Radio and television is used by the ministries of the Lutheran Hour Ministries, and what Dr. Kapitsky is referring to is in Venezuela. What was used is they would have television spots that would encourage people to call or make contact with centers or through a phone line, and then there would be a booklet that would be hand-delivered by the local people, our counselors or volunteers, would go make a personal delivery to the people who have responded. In America, that is taking the shape of what is referred to as living for tomorrow. And the etymology of that phrase is interesting, as they were calling it, I forget, they were calling it something else, but they were looking for a way to tie it in with a phone number that would be easy to remember. And so somebody at the phone company said, well, the ones you're looking for are already taken as far as toll-free numbers, but I do know of one that would work, and it's called Living For. You'd punch in Living, L-I-V-I-N-G, and then 4, and that would be the toll-free number, 1-800-LIVING-4. And she said, maybe you could use that one. And so we changed the whole name of the project to Living For. And if I could call up my AV man to be setting this up, what I'd like to show you is some of the commercials that we have produced. We just finished 2 weeks ago a test run of this in Albany, Schenectady area. What is the Schenectady that they named the city after? Anybody from New York can tell me what a Schenectady is? They don't know there either. Kind of one of those great mysteries of life that we'll ask God when we get to heaven. What is a Schenectady, and why do we name cities after it? It's an Indian name. For what? Okay. Fresno and Portland. The TV spots you're about to see were part of a coordinated campaign that included complimentary radio commercials and also television spots. And you will see this book mentioned in the ad, and this is what people call a toll-free number that linked up here in St. Louis, and then we would get the names of the people back to the congregations, and then they would go deliver these if the people allowed that. Otherwise, we would just mail them to them. And I brought some of these along. Feel free to take as many as you like and pass them out, because a lot of you guys need to have some peace with stress, I'm sure. So let's see these spots. The first ones, there's two of each one. And see if you can, I won't tell you what the difference is, see if you can catch. So they'll look, there are two different commercials, they look very identical, close almost, but see if you can tell the difference between these, the two of each of these four.
But you don't have to face it alone. If you're stressed by the changes in your life, call 1-800-LIVING-4. We'll send you a free booklet filled with solid answers and a ray of hope. Because even when life changes, you can still find peace in your heart.
See if you can tell what's different about this one than the first one.
Life is filled with changes. Changes in your job, in your friendships, and in your family. These changes can cause stress, making life seem unbearable. You don't have to face it alone. If you're stressed by the changes in your life, call 1-800-LIVING-4. We'll send you a free booklet filled with solid answers and a ray of hope. Because even when life changes, you can still have peace in your heart.
Now the other spot. Keep watching. Well, while we're waiting for me to get this queued up, the difference is there was some discussion of whether people who are unchurched would hesitate to call a number that mentions something about God or about Jesus. And so we produced almost identical commercials
one mentioning or using Scripture and one not using Scripture. And the results of were that didn't seem to make much difference. That people were really responding to the promise of what looked like some kind of help, even if it was from people they didn't know.
Is filled with changes. Happiness fades. Life loses its focus. Your bright future dims. Changes can cause incredible stress. Yet Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you need rest from the stress in your life, call 1-800-LIVING-4. We'll send you a free booklet filled with solid answers and a ray of hope. Because even when life changes, God's love for you doesn't.
There you are. So those are these are the commercials we've currently been working with. And we had about 3,000 calls, people requesting booklets. And one of the things, again, our theology impacts ministry, okay? Because are we trying to bring people to a decision or to make some sort of rational conclusion about their faith? What are we doing? We're bringing Christ to the nations. And so I have told people, be patient, that if you were expecting 10,000 responses, people requesting these things, remember, there were millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people touched by God's Word in these commercials. And that's what I feel is a significant measurement of this ministry, is how many people did we touch with a Word. We are coordinating and working with, group of people, I forget the name of the organization, that is sitting down with the Mission People of Synod and the Lutheran Layman's League, CPH, and LWML to help work through and coordinate the different ministries that are going on. I believe it hasn't met more than several times, but there is a movement towards working through that. Perhaps you would have more specific information on that. Dr. G? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Noted. His point is that, okay, so we're getting the gospel proclaimed. Now what? And that's the question that is being asked. That's one of the specific areas that I am addressing. Now, I've just been there for 8 weeks, so I don't have it as developed as it will be. But that's one of the specific things that I'm working on, because people do respond to the gospel. We want to give them an avenue for response. That doesn't mean, you know, contacting them saying, well, are you going to decide for Jesus? But people, when touched by the Word, you know, as people say, you sow with an eye to the harvest. You don't proclaim the gospel without expecting something to happen, because God's Word is powerful indeed. So this is where, in coordination with the missions and other avenues of Synod, that there needs to be a cohesive movement and coordination here. One of the things that media ministries will not do is have people show up at your church on Sunday morning at 8:30, say, "I'm ready to worship, where are my offering envelopes?" Doesn't happen. What it does is it plants seeds and opens doors for you to follow up. So there is an attitude of, well, if we give money to the Lutheran Hour is proclaiming the gospel, now we just sit back and wait. So there's a real subtle attitude that you will find in the people that you're working with in ministry that programs somehow releases them from personal involvement with bringing Christ to the nations.
Specifically what we're working with in the Living Four program in the United States, and Ken had a wonderful networking set up in Venezuela, of people who answered the phones were the ones who delivered the booklets. And so and in that culture, people are a little bit more open to people coming to their doors. So we have that cultural shift in this country where people are not as comfortable about you coming up to their doors. So the phone operators, people that answer the phones, are very important. Right now, we've set up the program that it'd be a toll-free number answered in St. Louis. If you're calling from Portland, you have a problem, say, I'd like to talk with a pastor, and you're just an operator here in St. Louis, say, well, I hope you find one. I just want to send you a booklet. So what we need to do is get this set up on the local level. And it takes a lot of work. As those of you who are studying outreach know, it takes a lot of coordination to get to implement outreach in whatever program you're choosing. So this is not a program that will replace good organized evangelism. There are some congregations and some communities that this would not be an effective ministry in because the congregations are not at a spiritually mature enough level to implement something like this. So we have to be cognizant of the community to make sure that the community really is willing to commit themselves to this type of ministry. What are they going to do with the people once we make contact? Once we send them the booklet, then what? What we are establishing then is the next level of follow-up would be to have, in this case, for example, have follow-up workshops on stress or family changes. And the mailing list that is compiled from this is sending personal invitations for them to come to probably an off-site location, you know, like a Holiday Inn or something like that, to come to this workshop to find out more about implementing what they've learned in this booklet. Or just asking them, inviting them also to some other activities of the church. And so there would be that kind of follow-up. But there has to be somebody, and it works best, as you guys know, if it's not the pastor that does this. You got to trust your laity to do this. Yes, sir?
What's so great, I think, about your being here is the fact that we haven't realized yet that the situation we're working in is every day becoming more like England.
Okay.
Every day becoming more like post-Christian Europe. Every day the mission field, the number of people to be reached, is just becoming a more staggering number, so that the only way you can reach the United States, the people in the United States, is going to be real effort. And that includes mass media. Dr. Oshoni says Russia's 13 time zones long.
Right.
We have a track record of LLL and Lutheran broadcasting in Brazil that has led to fantastic church planting, not only opportunities, but actually.
Mm-hmm.
So also here in the United States, the coordination of the LLL used to ask for. You pastors, you get out and call on these guys who write in for Lutheran hour sermons. And some pastors did it, and some didn't. It's always fun to go to Wisconsin Synod Hall, and follow up on someone who has written in for a Lutheran hour sermon, and there's some Missouri pastors on the door.
Right.
The doorstep. But this kind of follow-up and this kind of mass media is going to be required in the United States.
Because where you can't make a personal contact as easily, through the front door anymore, and some people have said, that evangelism now is moving from the door, from the doorbell to the mailbox. Have you heard that with direct mail? Direct mail is an effective way, too. But this is a hot medium, using radio or television, where we're able to touch them with the Word of God and perhaps bring, plant seeds. Now, the Living for Tomorrow program is a specific program with kind of a lifespan of about 6 months in preparation, then the three-week flight of radio and television and newspaper spots, and then with the follow-up of the workshops and perhaps then getting them into a pastor's class of some sort. And it's got to be heavily led because people don't trust you, friends. Your pastors, you're supposed to talk about Jesus. But when somebody who's not being paid for it goes out and talks about Jesus, that has real impact. And I'm not trying to minimize the office of the public ministry, but you are not their pastors, or won't be. Now I'm getting into all sorts of things here. But you are there to minister to these people as they go out there and get hit. One of the first things, well, I get charged out of the seminary in 1987, went to Redeemer in Evansville, a congregation in, at that time around 700, 800 people, and 400 plus in worship. It was great. And I went out there with the attitude that all these people out here, they were just a bunch of bleating sheep. You know, meh, meh, I want. But after I was out there for a while, I found out they were bleeding sheep, with a D, not a T. Every family had a story, and some of those stories are fantastic, and they won't talk about them till they get to know you a little bit. There's a family over here who, well, I won't go into that, you've heard that elsewhere, but they're bleeding, and you can help them, equip them to the point where they're comfortable telling other people about Jesus. Perhaps your ministry will not initially to be using something like Living For. Perhaps your ministry will be preparing them for something like this over a period of a couple years. Now, the Lutheran Hour, we do have, when people, and this is something that's shifted over the last 2 years, the telephone, friends, is not an outreach tool of the past. It's the tool of the future. We've shifted to a 1-800 number just in July of 91. I just was floored that they did it in 91. A toll-free number that people can respond to Lutheran Hour broadcasts. Before that, you had to mail in to get something. Well, how many of you have mailed in something to get a free item? Maybe you have. But do you think most people will take the time in this day and age to mail something in? So now we have a toll-free number people can call. In the past, what was happening with referrals is every person whose letter did not indicate some sort of church affiliation was immediately labeled a referral. And so it was sent to the pastor with the local closest zip code. And what was happening, many pastors were going out and finding out these people were already churched. They kind of got frustrated and just, you know, forgot about it when something came from the Lutheran Hour Ministries. Now, referrals, 75% of our referrals or more come from the phone calls where the operators will ask, are you affiliated with a local congregation? And if they say no, then they are labeled as a referral. So we're getting better referrals to the pastors. So when you receive something from us that says so-and-so called from, you know, your community and would like to find out more about Lutheranism, this is a person who has already been, who's motivated and wants to hear from you. So that's been a bit of a shift. So that's the process through the Lutheran Hour. That's what happens when people, that's the referral system. So we still need your cooperation, and it's best if, again, give that name to your evangelism callers. Let them make that call. Yes, sir. Okay. Go to Zap, huh? Is it time for a Zap cycle again this fall? That's on tape, I'm sorry. There's something else I'd love to say, but that being taped, it's a great one-liner, and it's sexist, but I won't talk about it. The, he's grinning, that big old Cheshire Cat grin up there. Let me address your question. All right, the tapes, the whole Living For program is a concept that can easily be implemented. You know, if you just think it through, and you can implement it locally. One of the things, you know, as you implement it wherever you are, because it doesn't have to be television, but it can be. Remember not to trust that the media is a small percentage of the impact of this program. The major impact of the program is when you work beforehand, maybe even have a banquet, get, you know, 5 or 6 leaders in the circuit to get together, and they go get 5 or 6 other people excited about the program, so you can get like 100 people involved. Hey, make jobs for them. Some people who would address labels, some people who would make donuts for the phone callers, people, you know, get a bunch of people involved that way. And so then you've got hundreds of people already involved in the program, and you haven't even gone on the air with it yet. Now, those people have jobs, and they're going to be talking about it at work. Hey, we got this program. We're going to be looking for our spots here next week. We're going to be running some television ads. And so it's giving them an opportunity to begin to talk about their church, talk about their faith, again, before the commercials even get on the air. So the commercials get on the air. Then they're talking about, hey, did you see those commercials? That's us. We're doing that. And then the follow-up. So remember that the media is a small percentage of the impact of this whole program. Okay? So it's kind of a tool to a rallying point, if you will, for an outreach program. Does that answer your question? These spots would be made available to you. We could customize them for a charge. Also, you can come up with your own spots. In Detroit, I was speaking with a gentleman who I'd known from seminary days. He's in Dearborn. Is that what it's called? Dearborn, Michigan. And they're producing some spots that they're going to use in this way for Christmas. And the theme is, Santa can't give it. And have different people sitting on Santa's lap asking for peace or joy or happiness or self-control or what are those fruits of the Spirit. And Santa going, well, I can't give that. You know, real simple idea. You know, so produce your own. But the idea is not patented by any means, but we will be happy to be a resource for you. Sir? They're not closed captioned, but we are talking about doing that for the future ones. And also, the This Is the Life is another, are not being produced anymore, but they're still in distribution. They're talking about closed captioning picking some of those out. Let me speak just one briefly about This Is the Life. This Is the Life is a 30-minute video drama series. One of the things that's impacting both Lutheran Hour and This Is the Life is the fact that with the deregulation of government, that public affairs time is no longer required for licensing renewal for broadcast entities. In other words, if they could show that they had so much public affairs time when it came time for license renewal, it looked good. So they were always looking for something that fit that qualification of public affairs. It's no longer required. So the station said, well, we aren't going to give this away. We're going to charge people for it. So suddenly the costs of distribution skyrocketed, and for Lutheran Hour, and This Is the Life, and that's why stations just aren't interested in giving away their time anymore. Okay, sir.
Much as you're distributing the stress booklet, they flash a great commercial on screen that says, are you looking for peace and joy and happiness? And they offer a free video to be sent to your home by representatives of their church.
Yeah.
That could be done by our pastors or our lady, or we could just mail it direct. And I called in for it, and it's a slick, very well-done production. It's really flaky, but it's very well done.
Right. And people, did a pastor come and teach, present it?
Two of the young men on their mission.
Okay, the missionaries. Okay, you said the Lutheran LDS, Latter-day Saints folks, their spots, when they targeted a market, offered a video that they would come and present it in your home. And that's what he's saying. That could be a local variant, by all means. Go for that. The Lutheran Hour Ministries could be a resource for helping you guys maybe get discounts on producing your spots, getting them produced. So we can be a resource for you in that way. Give us plenty of lead time, though. But these are all great ideas of ways to use ministry. And again, think about it. If you don't have people in your congregation that you can imagine that could make these visits and make these calls, do that first before you start doing this kind of a ministry. Okay? Your congregation has to be ready to receive the harvest. Okay? Otherwise, you get all these people, and what do you do with them? And these people need a lot of attention when they first come into a ministry, into a congregation. They need a lot of attention. And if the people are demanding more of your attention than you can give to the new people, there's where your ministry needs to be first, is to broaden their world vision. Other questions or comments at this point? Dr. G.
Thank you very much for your answer.
I'm a pastor. I do that, yes.
You know, one of the problems in the past, which I personally experienced, and I know many conferences have some experience, that is tension between the Lutheran Hour or media people and church people. I know some countries in Asia, I know they almost split, you know, extent. Now, that is to say that the media people are romanticists, you know, they're talking about these things, you know, now, millions and something like that. Church people, they are sort of like custodians. They have really tough time step by step, you know. So, now, I also noticed that, I hope I'm wrong, but in our partner church in America, we are not without some tension. Now, the point is, if you say there is no tension, that's fine. That's all, no problem, it's all right. But I'm sure there is some. How do you strategize, you know, these three levels, that is to say, coordinating, you mentioned about coordination, the church means in our case, international center,
Okay.
And your auxiliary or the voluntary mission group like the LLL, and then theological academy like the Concordia Seminary. Now how can you motivate these people so that the program, not only the programming aspect but also follow up, at the same time they can appreciate what the other guys are doing and the other bodies are doing. Do you think, maybe you are too new here, but do you think we are doing quite well in coordination part, or do we need improvement? If so, how are you going to do?
Did everybody understand his question? That's a wonderful question, and we'll never learn and come up with answers unless people ask questions like that. Thank you. No. From what I've seen in the last 8 weeks, I'm seeing an attitude towards cooperation. Through this program, next week we'll be meeting with Lyle Miller to sit down. I know that he's got some really neat programs that he's starting through the Board of Evangelism that we see could dovetail nicely with Living 4. The Living 4 program. For example, I'm sorry I don't remember the names of them, but there's like a motivating team training session that the Board of Evangelism's coming. There's some acronym for it. I'm sorry, I don't remember what it is. Where the idea is that these people in each district would come together, learn how to go back to their congregations and mobilize people for ministry. That could very easily be one of the criteria leading up to a Living 4 media campaign, that first these circuits participate in the Board of Evangelism's program. We also ask that people who participate in Living 4 have their contact people be familiar with Dialogue Evangelism too, and go through that and be well versed in that. So we're wanting to use the resources of Synod. And also, there needs to be that personal contact between the Lutheran ministries and the Synod, where there can be trust developed on a personal level. And the same is true with the other entities. And so, really, by the grace of God, that will happen. And personally, I think it's going to happen. And I believe that as we continue to focus on bringing Christ to the nations, and then once we've sown the seed, be ready to and willing and to do the sacrifice that it takes for the harvest, I think God's going to work mightily through this church. There was, I don't remember which professor it is. Maybe you guys, maybe it's still being said, and you guys can tell me. There's one of the professors when I was here said, if you can find a better denomination, more biblically based, more confessional, if you can find a better denomination, go join it. And then come get me, and I'll go join it with you. And I make that challenge to you today, too. If you can find a better denomination confessionally than the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, go join it. And come get me, and I'll go join it with you. Now, where we have room to grow, not just in this area, but in all areas, is the application of our theology in a loving, caring, pastoral manner. And we all have room to grow there. But a lady called the other day in response to the Lutheran Hour yesterday morning, talked to her, and her son had committed suicide. She was a Roman Catholic, but she was familiar with the Lutheran Hour, knew the toll-free number, had memorized that. So she called, and she wanted to know whether there was any hope for her son to be in heaven, because her priest could not give her any hope. She started to tell me how her son lived a good life and all that sort of thing. And I said, well, what about his faith? And she said that he did have a clinically diagnosed manic depressive problem, but that he not only believed in Jesus, but told his girlfriend and her family about Jesus. And she said, I believe that Mark believed that Jesus died and rose again for him. Okay, she said that. In that almost exactly that way. She did mention his death, mentioned Christ's resurrection for his sins. And I was able to share with her, so far as Mark believed that God has promised that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Do Christians sin? Yeah. Does that mean they're not saved? No. It's by faith we are saved, not by our actions. And it's the high-performance theology of the Lutheran confessions that makes us different from other evangelical denominations. That is the differential advantage that we have. We're a high-performance theology where we don't rely on people's ability to act correctly, but we rely on the promises of God and His salvation, won for you through Christ's death and resurrection. So I was able to tell this lady and give comfort to her that there is hope insofar as Mark believed in the death and resurrection of Christ for him, that God promises, if that faith was in his heart, that he's with the Lord. I didn't tell her absolutely that he was there, but I said insofar as he believed. Okay? What other denomination can make that kind of a statement based upon their confessions? So there. Harumph. I'm a flag-waving Missouri Synod Lutheran. It's a great denomination. Have fun with it. Don't get in a hurry to be doing ministry. The time spent sharpening one's axe is time well spent when you got a big forest out there. Sharpen your axes, gentlemen. Take the time here to absorb as much knowledge from the professors that you can possibly do. And you will look back on these years as intense as they are, as some of the best years of your life. You are geared up to challenge the theological questions of all time. You're at a peak. You're honed. Enjoy it. Go for it. And be patient with yourselves, because there's plenty of time for ministry. The Lord's working. The Lord is at work. And so I'll continue to keep you in my prayers. And that's a great place to stop. Shall we stop there? God bless you all real good. Oh, but I've got to say this. Excuse me. I'm terribly sorry. Other things on the domestic level, we're having a moment with God, which is a phone-in thing where people can call in and receive a brief devotion. And if there's any if they'd like to ask a pastor a question, punch a number, they can leave a message. I'm working on something called PALS, Personal Adult Learning Series, which is kind of like a correspondence course. Another one of the follow-up things would say, we've made contact with you. Would you like to find out more about the Christian faith? It's a safe way of doing that. Also, we're developing on Main Street a video presentation involving Dr. Dale Meyer. We have additional information here. Take stress booklets with you. They're give them away. Give them to friends. Give them to people you like and people you don't like too. God bless you all real good.